Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'm just thinking if your sound coming through here,
no,
hitting this
mic. It would
only
mic, be coming through if it's going through this, back into the speakers again, because it's coming here.
But if you can't hear it echoing, it's fine.
Then I've got the cans in, so it's all coming. It's my hospital radio experience here, Mark, coming through.
There we go. Did you record that by any chance?
What bit?
What you just said then. Because I think that'd be a good cold opening.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Danny Ward, the podcast where each week I talk to a comedian about jokes they can't get to work. Joining me this week in the studio, all the way from Singapore, we have Mark Simmons.
Whoa.
Few things have changed,
I'm not
here, Mark.
This.
Few things have changed since you've been gone. It's a coup. This is what happens.
We can't have you doing it.
You know what happens? If you ever had an animal like a dog and you've left it at home and gone out for the day and stayed out too long, what does that dog do on the carpet? I mean, joke's on me, because it's
saying,
my joke's on me, it's my carpet.
Are you saying you're taking a massive turd on this podcast?
Well, listen, all I'm saying is you've gone away and things have changed.
Well, it is good to be back on the podcast. I am in Singapore. I'm joined by Danny Ward in the studio. And we're also joined by my new best friend.
I haven't sat on any carpets.
Marcus Birdman. Hey.
You've only been with Mark a week.
I'll wear off, don't worry.
So this is unusual. So we're on Zoom. We're in a hotel room in Singapore. Danny is all the way in Stratford, London, England. And we've got the technology rocking, and this should work, I think. So what I thought we'd do is have a little update of what's been happening. I've been away for nearly a week. What's been happening back at home, Danny?
All sorts have been
You've
going
been having
on.
Having gigs?
All sorts have been going on. Let me think. Top of my head, bought a new Hoover, a shark, if that means anything to you.
Doesn't.
No, 10 months in for interest free, as always. Beautiful piece of kit.
As in, we're not interested. Is that what you mean?
So, big things happening there. Just got Sky TV in as well, Mark. Sky Stream.
Really?
Yeah. So things are changing.
Sky's the limit.
Should we just tell them it's 1:45 p.m. here, GHB, GMT?
9:45
STD.
Stop laughing together, you clique.
Should we do it separately? My turn.
So Mark, he's not happy. No, he's jesting.
It's fine. Talk us through it, guys. What's been happening then?
We've been there. Oh, we've done our shows. So we've had the two shows. They are complete. They went well. And I thought we could chat a little bit in a minute about the way maybe we changed our sets a little bit for the Singapore crowd. But before that, I thought we could talk about the kind of a bit of a strange experience that we weren't expecting. Autograph hunters.
Oh, yeah.
They're big on autograph hunters here, but we're a bit freaked out by it. So Marcus landed before I did. We didn't have the same flight. And when he got to the airport, this guy, I wasn't there.
Yeah, well, I came through and met the promoter, Hezri, and this dude was milling around, and he was like, Marcus, Marcus. And I was like, yeah.
You didn't do the accent that you did last time.
I'm not doing this.
Marcus Lake. Can I have your autograph, please, Marcus?
He said. but which was came out of, and then which was nice and flattering, and he was a very pleasant young man. Well, actually, he wasn't that young. And then we were kind of thinking, well, how did he know I was there? Which was really been the sort of question of. And then he rocked up the day after to pounce on Mark. Hey,
yeah, so he was at the hotel this time. Ooh. So he found, he knew where Marcus was landing. Well, obviously it's the same airport, but he knew the time, or he'd been waiting there all day. And then as we were leaving the hotel, he came up to me, the same guy, wanting my photo. So how he knew where we were and what hotel we were at. And then he was like, where's Stephen? Because Stephen Grant is also on.
Where's Stephen?
He said.
Where's Cuddy Stephen Lake?
And then two days later, there was another one turned up.
This is the best bit though. So he, so he took it. He got a photograph of me, and then he got a photograph of Mark, and then Mark said up to me afterwards, did he touch your bum? and I was going, no. And Mark was going, it's probably because I had a rucksack on. So and we're like, yeah, right.
That's a classic. What a chestnut.
Yeah, that old chestnut.
He put his arm around, like, so around the rucksack, and then he just moved his hand down to my bum. But his hand was on it for a good 2 seconds before thinking maybe I shouldn't have it on there. He's a very pleasant chap.
He sounds
yeah,
it.
So we,
what precautions but, have you
so
taken?
So he found out. Sorry?
Well, what precautions have you taken, Mark? He's not going to storm into your hotel room there. If you put a chair.
I've now got Marcus staying in the hotel room with me to protect me.
Well, that just
sounds security detail.
Yeah. Well, you take it in shifts, guys, overnight, yeah?
Yeah. So it's just a bit of a mystery how they know where we and why they'd even care. Do you know what I mean? So it's very, very strange. Yeah.
You've been spotted around town, though. A few people have come up to you.
That's true, actually. That was weird in downtown
Singapore.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Because I could see this girl, and she looked like she sort of recognised me, and she went, Mark Watson? Like that. I was like, well, I don't look like Mark Watson, but he is a comedian.
You went, no. Yeah. I thought you'd just be really churlish. I thought she'd said Mark Simmons, and you'd sort of pretend you didn't what you didn't want to. She wasn't pretty enough to engage with, so you just like coated her off. No,
I'm not Mark Watson.
What it actually was, she didn't actually know who he was.
But then I said Mark Simmons, thinking, and then she went, "Oh yeah," she looked really embarrassed actually. But like, why? Yeah, that's like, so that was weird in the middle of Singapore, and they weren't even coming to the show, which was strange.
Did she touch your bum?
Well, no. She's missed the one opportunity there to see you live.
That's true. Although we did. So the touching the bum thing has become a running joke now. And then there's an act on, and I'm trying to try and get him on the podcast, actually. There was a Singapore-based act on. So he had a young assistant with him who's like a university student, and she was sort of learning the ropes around theatre and that sort of thing. And afterwards, she wanted a photo with us for our portfolio.
She was young, though. She was probably not more than 18.
18, 19, yeah, young. And she put, it was in the middle of us. I put sort of my arm around, and Marcus put his arm around, but I then touched Marcus's bum.
Jesus Christ.
And then Marcus touched my bum. And then he wound me up afterwards. What was it?
It was like something like, it's funny when you touched my bum. And I said, you should have touched mine.
Given the impression that I touched hers by mistake.
By mistake.
Danny, I'm so sorry. Look,
bum chums. A couple of bum chums.
Yeah, we've been loving each other with our bums.
The cheek of it.
Did this guy want actual, literal autographs and not selfies?
Selfies.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing in the past, isn't it, actually? Actual autographs is less...
Well, especially somewhere like Singapore that I just associate with being really, like, you know, cutting edge in terms of its technology. I don't know why I think that.
It is.
Is it also the place where you get...
We've got... At breakfast, there's a robot that collects dishes and then on its own just drives to the kitchen.
Well, I need to see some video of that, Mark.
We've got one.
Wow, that sounds cool. What's the food like?
Amazing.
like street food's like is so good, like, and cheap, and we just hoovered a load of prawns.
I actually feel really sleepy. Yeah.
Well, good job you've not got some work to do.
Yeah.
Why are you tired? So, it's only 10 to 2. So how about the gigs then? What talk us through the gigs.
So the first night have you ever met Jinx Yao?
No.
Have you ever met him? He's only been over to England a few times, but I met him at the stand-up club, and Marcus, I think, met him in Edinburgh, right?
Yeah, he's done a couple of Edinburghs, I think.
He's really good. Good solid act, good jokes. He compared. He's a Singapore local. And then Stephen Grant opened, Marcus. And then there's a break, and then I was closing in the second bit. And then in the second show, they brought another local act to go on before me in the second section.
He with the young assistant.
But it was an interesting experience because it was my first time performing in Singapore, whereas Stephen and Marcus have done it a few times before, right?
You sure? Yeah, yeah.
So they know more or less what will work and what won't work. And we were talking about that a minute ago, that Marcus actually cut a bit out because he knew from before that it wouldn't land. What was that bit?
Well, so I have a kind of bit where I do what seems to be quite a sexist joke, it immediately sounds a bit sexist, and I kind of admonish the audience for presuming I'm talking about a woman, therefore presuming about what sex or gender all my lovers are. So I kind of reverse it on them, and I say, the joke is, I then go, there's no jokes at the expense of women. And then I carry on, and I come in with two Leses walk into a comedy club, Les Dawson and Les Dennis, right? And then it sort of carries on from there. But obviously you would need to know who they are, which would require a level of sort of sophistication about British comedy that I suspect is not here. No disrespect to them. That's so far so obvious, right? So you can't. It's interesting, and I'm talking because I was thinking I probably got to do it. Wanted to do it in Australia because it's kind of my new bit, and I've got a little routine about it, and that it kind of expands about things that are offensive.
So that gets you from A to B.
So it's a sort of bridge into another bit, which we can discuss as well, because it's got a particularly British sort of tag around which it sort of pivots. And it's like what Australian leses are there that I could put that on, you know?
Are there any like proper, really famous leses in Australia? Have you Googled it?
No. Well, Les Patterson, but I don't know who is. Do you know who Sir Les Patterson is?
Neighbours actor, maybe?
Yeah, see, there we go. So Sir Les Patterson is Dame Edna Everage's another character that Dame Edna Everage does.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. So I suspect that only some Australian audiences know that.
Does it actually have, I mean, I think it probably does, but does it have to be someone famous, or can you just name two people called Les? They'd still get the joke, wouldn't they?
They'd have to know they were men called Les, though, wouldn't they?
Oh, I suppose so.
Yeah.
It just bangs a bit because it's sort of like, it's very clear that it's like, or they are two male comedians. It could be.
So you did you do that bit, the other bits today? Sorry, at the gigs, or did you cut the whole routine?
I cut the whole routine. The routine then goes in, and I think we discussed this sort of before, that I kind of go that people are offended, and it's what you can and can't say. And I discuss this through the medium of the phrase, said the actress to the bishop, which again is a bit divisive because I think you have to be of a certain age in the UK to know it.
Yeah,
but I can get around that by going, it's the sort of original what your mum said. So, which it kind of is, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's that sort of, when somebody says a sort of innuendo, like, or this is a stiff one, or you can park that at my back passage or something like that, you know, as Brits, we'll run to say, said the actress to the bishop. And now, I suppose currently, we said, that's what your mum said. Right. And I'm going like, then I continue with that phrase, you can't say, said the actress to the bishop, because you have to say female actor or actor. The bishop could also be female or could be gay, but only if he's a Protestant, because they've been ordaining gay men since the 70s, not if they're Catholic. They've been ordaining gay men since 1152. Again, it sort of unravels that, you know,
it's that not as catchy.
Exactly. It sort of unravels this whole, it's this whole notion of, like, you know, of a phrase that used to be a stalwart of British comedy is now fraught with suggestions or problematic, because it's completely sort of it can be triggering and mean so many different things. And it's kind of, you know, so it's rather than kind of taking a stance, I don't want to be a sort of, you know, a white male of a certain age going, oh, you can't say anything these days, because I don't want to be that guy. But I think it's kind of interesting to, I'm not really taking a stance. I'm sort of using it as a way to kind of go, it can be quite hard in comedy to navigate not being offensive to certain people. Mm. Because something is offensive to everyone. Well, not everyone, but something is offensive to somebody.
So in Australia, will they know that phrase?
Well, I asked a few Aussie people. Again, it seemed to be like, it went ranged from yes, completely, to no, not at all. And I think some things, well, it also, it went on age. I think it might have gone on British lineage, you know, whether they were British or not, or of British descent. They all knew what your mum said. So I've found that actually in British audiences, they do not need to know the phrase, said the actress to the bishop, because as long as I clarify it, with it's the original what your mum said, they're kind of on point then. Mm. It just bangs a bit better if people know the phrase, said the actress to the bishop, because then they're a bit more on point, you know, or a bit more invested rather, but it still works. So I think, I don't know, I'll find out.
So will you take your first Adelaide show and just to test the water?
Yeah, well, I think, what... I mean, when you do gigs abroad, you have to take your first few shows and test the water to see what works and what doesn't, and things do. And
yeah, because that's what I had, because I've never gigged here before, so it was quite like, I wouldn't say I was nervous, but I was well prepared that if something didn't work, what would I do and how would I navigate around it. But but luckily, and maybe because of the British culture in Singapore, and because English is technically their first language, most of it, I think there's only one. There were a few bits that I purposely didn't do. There's one joke I did do that I didn't realise wouldn't work, and I'll tell you that in a sec. And when I was doing the improv jokes, sometimes a topic came up. I went into a joke, and as I was doing the joke, I thought, they may not get this reference. But most of the times they did. A couple didn't work, but then, to be honest, they give you the leeway. If you say, oh, yeah, that you obviously don't have that phrase, they go, oh, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I need to do another joke.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
But one thing was the phrase, you know, when you're at work and you're late and your boss wants you to make the time up. They don't use that. So that fell on deaf ears, that joke. And that joke is, I mean, you know the punchline now, everybody, but I'll tell you the joke so you know what it is. So I was meant to start work at 9, got it at 9:30. Boss was angry, came over. He said, Mark, you're late. I want you to make the time up. I said, okay, it's 9. So, but it just, that was almost silent to that. And then I just brushed over it.
I think we had to go back to the point that you made. Because it was in a theatre, you had the time. Mm. You know that sort of cauldron of a club where you really haven't got time to do anything if it goes awry. The theatre had you could go back and go, let me explain what I've just said there. Mm. And there's not a feeling of dead air.
I find in those theatres, the pauses are more powerful. You can really take your time. Like if even once a laugh dies down, you can actually take a few seconds.
Mm. You can play with that.
And it doesn't feel weird. Whereas in a club, you kind of feel like you have to sort of keep on top of them the whole time.
I think British culture and where the environment that we mostly do comedy in is if you say something that the British audience don't understand, they think it's your fault. They're like, you must be some sort of pillock or an idiot, or you're trying to be too clever, they blame you. And I've noticed if you say something in a different culture, in a different country, who I think, can we? I don't know. Let's agree that perhaps I think the British are probably the most aggressive audiences to play to, and everywhere gets slightly less aggressive. I think I've noticed that foreign audiences, if they don't understand something, they assume that it's on them.
Yeah, sure.
Mm. They're going to go, oh, I don't get it. Not this prick's trying to be too clever, or this prick's messed something up. But do you know what I mean? I think it's like, that's almost a British thing, that it's like, it got to be your fault. And I think you can play with that abroad, because they don't jump on you if they don't immediately get it.
Yeah.
There isn't this notion of it being so gladiatorial.
You had any interesting abroad gigging experiences?
I've gigged all over Europe. And my takeaway from it is, I don't know if Marcus, you agrees, it's the Germans who I've always found the best, most up for it audiences of all the countries. You know, and there's always that sort of that stereotype, isn't it? The Germans haven't got a sense of humour, but that, you know, it sort of runs counter to my experiences. And they've always seemed like the most like English audiences, actually.
Yeah, well, I think Northern Europeans are, you know, I mean, there's always the adage, isn't it, that we're the reason the Germans, and there's antipathy between Germans and Brits, is that we're far more similar than we care to sort of mention or acknowledge. Yeah, I think all Northern European have the same sensibility. I think same sense of humour is quite dark, quite sort of, you know, it's a bit rubbish living up here. Things are cold and things don't necessarily sort of go to plan. And they don't have a, you know, it's a sort of miserabilism, perhaps.
Yeah. And I found actually in the places where life's really, really good, let's say quality of life very, very high, quality of living very high, maybe your Norway's, your Sweden's, to be quite tricky some ways, because it's like, yeah, things are good.
I think that could be the same in English British towns that are well off. They can be quite hard work, I find.
Do you find that?
I mean, yeah, I don't really want to name them because I'm going to be touring.
Yeah, sure, sure. I actually find that the more Tory a town is, generally it's better to play, because I think they're much more prepared to laugh at anything. Because they're kind of smug in their sort of we're all right jackness. So I think they're quite grounded. I've often found sometimes if you do play like very right on gigs or in very right on places, as the left being as divided as it always is and always will be, of how I'm much more right on than you are, I find them to be much more tricky. I did a series of sort of charity gigs for Jeremy Corbyn, and this is a while back, because Jeremy Hardy came off and he went, these are the hardest gigs in the world.
Mm.
And you go, that's Jeremy, you'd think that would be his target market, wouldn't you? And he was like, but everybody's just so right on and they don't want to laugh.
But tell me about the gig itself. Like, is it any expats in it, or is it all people who are from Singapore?
Well, at the beginning, they Jinx did a cheer, basically cheer if you're from Singapore. There were a few. He said foreigners gives a cheer, big, loud, and then anyone British, slightly quieter than that. So I'd say there were more expats than locals. But looking at the audience whilst we were on, the locals were really into it. Well, what we were discussing is that maybe these international gigs are slightly easier to play now because of streaming and Netflix, the access everyone has to comedy specials or even YouTube as well. So people kind of, they know what to expect now and they kind of understand British humour better because they can watch it as much as they like.
Yeah, that was another thing. I was going around Croatia and we were talking with some people there, youngsters there, and who were amazing English, but almost spoke with an American accent because of watching Friends, they said.
I've probably been doing like sort of expat gigs or overseas gigs for 15 years. And when I started, people spoke with English accents and now they speak with American accents, you know, which is quite interesting. And I think their focus is a bit more toward America. But I actually take your point. I think people are very...
Is that from what they're watching?
Yeah, I think because right. they watch, you know, YouTube and stuff online and it tends to be more American. Their sort of interest zone tends to be more America than Britain for whatever reasons. But I think they all... You know, they all know The Office and they all know kind of, I suppose the older generation will know Python, Fawlty Towers, yada, yada, yada. And the newer generation would know The Office. What else has really sort of traveled? The Boosh or something like that, you know? So they're pretty au fait with British comedy.
I was going to say, did you write any jokes specifically for the locals with... Because like Stephen Grant, he's got so much gear, hasn't he? About just gigging in Singapore and that sort of thing.
Well, I by the time you have done like a month in Australia, you tend to have got a few bits and bobs. Here, I was coming for like 2 days. I just sort of think rather than try and write stuff about Singapore, which I don't know anything about,
and
coming
also that,
here.
With only two shows, that's a risk that one show you might bugger it up if it doesn't
and you're
work.
Never going to use it again sort of thing. So I thought it would be better to write from the perspective of what they probably think about English people or Brits, you know? So I've got some routines about being apologetic about the Empire and the British Museum, you know, them coming and sort of going, oh, well, that's... hours, you know, and I take it as that, like, if you can go anywhere and probably you need to start apologizing for being British, so it kind of works to be deferential and sorry about all that, and kind of play with that, because they so it's you can use that in all of the foreign countries rather than just it's site specific to Singapore. And I think in terms of you know, being deferential, which as we well know works extremely well in comedy.
So it's got more legs.
It's got more legs.
More opportunity to use it.
Yeah.
So you've done two nights there. You've been out and about a bit. I've seen pictures on. You look like you're having a lovely time over there, Mark. Well, I've seen you in the jungle.
Yeah, we had a bit of trouble in the jungle. It was torrential rain, and they decided to take me up on a treetop walk when it was thunder and lightning. And no one seemed bothered about the light then, except me.
You did scream like a girl on that monkey.
Because I saw a tree moving weird ahead, and out of nowhere, this monkey jumps out about 2 inches from my face. I just went, fucking hell!
And what's your guys' plan now then? If you're, how long are you in Singapore for now?
A couple more days, and then fly
Any
to
more
Adelaide.
Gigs?
No more gigs.
No, so you're literally just on holiday now in Singapore?
Yeah,
essentially.
Lovely. Yeah, I'll be editing the Jeff Innocent podcast after this, just so you know.
So how long have we done, Danny?
Well, we've got 2 minutes left on the Zoom call, Mark. So anytime
okay, cool.
you want to look to wrap this thing up.
Cracking. Thanks for coming on, Marcus. I'm sure you will appear on the podcast again in the next couple of months, as we are going to be sharing a flat in Adelaide.
Love to.
Anything you would like to direct people to, your social media or anything?
My social media, Marcus Marcus Bergman on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all that.
Crack in. What's yours, Danny?
Danny Ward Comedian across your socials.
And I'm going on tour when we get back from Australia, end of April. Get your tickets at marksimmons.co.uk or in my bio on my socials at Jokes with Mark. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.